السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، Yesterday I posed a question, yet nobody asked. So I figured everybody knows the answer. We all?
Failed.
My question yesterday leads into the next method in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to adopt in trying to teach people things. And that was to pose a question. He used to pose a question to make you think. Oftentimes in my class, for my students, just to give you a background, when we learn Arabic grammar, in first year of the Alam course, we will learn a lot of subjects. And the best way I explain it to the students, I say, look, you're going to learn a bunch of branches. You're going to learn a bunch of branches. By the end of the year, you'll get to the tree. Because everything is, it's like so many different subjects. You're doing this subject, you're doing that subject, you're doing this subject, you're doing that subject. And by the end of the year, all the subjects make sense because they're all interconnected. But to keep them on their toes, often a time, I will teach one subject, but ask them a question from another subject. They dread it. Because when you're in the first year, it's hard to connect them because they're not used to it. So asking a question is to gauge how intelligent the person is. So it makes sense when you're teaching a class, we get it, we do it, but we do it with our children as well. If we want to gauge how much they understand, we have to start asking them questions. So before I go and give the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ demonstrates this, yesterday I posed the question. I said, how do you rationally explain to your children why they have to pray? Now, the idea behind rationally explaining it is, there could be many rational thought processes to this conclusion. The thought process that I choose to adopt, because I think it makes this a lot of sense. And that is, in order to first understand why you have to pray, you have to first understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. You must instill this within your child, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For my child, at a very young age, and this is what I've learned from our elders, at a very young age, I'm talking about 1 year old, the moment they can learn to even communicate with you, verbally or non-verbally, whatever the case may be, they can start communicating with you. Whenever something happens, you always say, it's from Allah, it's from Allah. We all may naturally do this to our child every so often and say, yeah, you know, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gave it to us. I'm telling you from experience, in this environment, nothing's enough. Always beat it in your, I don't mean physically beat, I mean always keep saying it to your child. Allah is great, Allah is great, Allah is great, right? Yes, Allah is great. And you keep saying it, I'm asking the child behind you guys. You keep saying it. Because you're trying to establish something. Who is Allah? He's the one who gives you food. He's the one who gives you clothing. I don't give you clothing. The first thing you have to instill within your child is when they say thank you to you or jazakallah to me, when I say, you know, you did this for us, we're really happy. I say, always remember, I only gave it to you, but it came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah used me as a means. Just constantly remind them. So when you tell a child this, and when a child starts getting to the age of 6 and 7, and you've instilled within them that everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you tell your child this. Why do you have to pray salah? We understand everything comes from Allah. You can breathe today. Did you learn how to breathe? Did you go through a course to learn to breathe? You can see today. Did you go through a course to see? You have clothing, heat, AC, whatever the case may be. Everything was given to you, but you had to do nothing for it. You want to know who gave it to you? Your Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we make sure that Allah continues giving us. To make sure Allah continues giving us, what we do is we pray salah. We pray salah because it's our way of being grateful to the Rabb who gave us everything. So when you ask the question why you have to pray, it's just a simple way of saying, because you don't want to be deprived, right? You don't want it to be that one day you cannot see like there are people in this world. You don't want it to be that one day you don't have this or you don't have that. That same Lord that has been giving it to you, you pray salah to be grateful to him. Yes, the ruling of it is fard. We don't have to say all this. It is fard. You don't pray, there's a severe warning to it. Salah is the first thing you're going to be asked about on the Day of Judgment. All that is there. But that's not the point. Why do we pray? If you and I, even adults, are praying because it's fard, okay, that's okay. It's acceptable. But the reality is we pray to Allah. Why? What's the difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim? One is called a Muslim, one is called a kafir. And I've mentioned this before. The word kafir comes from kufrun ni'mah. It means one who rejects the favors of Allah. So the one who isn't praying, the one who isn't Muslim, is a simple way of saying one who isn't being grateful to the one who has given him. So when you as a Muslim are not praying, then you are just being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But this is a way about explaining why you pray. Instead of getting stuck and stumped in hadith, ayah. No, it's to be grateful to the Rabb who gives you everything. And that is why we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So that transitions into the next way in which how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach the Sahaba radiyallahu ajma'een. And that would be that he would ask a question. Just for the sake of understanding, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he was sitting in a gathering, and somebody brought him a date palm core. Okay, it's some edible part from the edge of the date palm. I don't realistically know what it is. That's what it says in the hadith, okay? So somebody brought that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's just the way the hadith says it. And he was eating it. And as he was eating it, he asked this question. He said, there is a tree from amongst a tree that's a green tree. And its benefits are like that of a Muslim. Its leaves don't scatter everywhere. It gives a lot of shade. And it gives its fruit at its appointed time by its sustainer. What is the tree? Date palm tree. So, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, we'll talk about that in a second. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he was sitting in the gathering and he was only 10 years old at the time. So, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked this question, because he's trying to get them to think, okay? So he asked this question, and Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he had a feeling in his heart that it was the date palm tree. But he didn't want to say it. Why? Well, his father Umar radiallahu anhu was there, his relative Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was there, and all these sahaba are there, and they're not saying anything. Some are saying something, but none of them are saying date palm tree. So now he looks around and he says, well, if Umar radiallahu anhu is staying quiet, my father is staying quiet, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is staying quiet, who am I to say anything? So he stays quiet. And at that point, the sahaba radiallahu anhu then asked the Prophet, so what tree is it? And he said, it's the date palm tree. Now, before I mention the end of the narration, because it has a good ending to it, a unique thing for a parent and a child, the date palm tree is very, very beneficial. It has long leaves in the sense that its shade covers a lot, its leaves covers a large area, thus its shade is larger. It's constantly producing dates, one type or the other type, and it's constantly giving benefit. As a matter of fact, throughout Quran, we even read a verse yesterday, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a tree, Allah talks about the date palm tree, always praising it in Quran. We read a verse yesterday, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبًا. What's the example of a good word, good speech, talking about La ilaha illallah? كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبًا. شَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبًا. That شَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبًا, أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٍ. Its roots are firmly into the ground. That's one of the things. So if there a strong wind comes, it doesn't move it. It's very firm into the ground. Remember, you have to remember this to understand when comparing it back to Muslims. Its roots are very strong into the ground. أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء. And it's really high in the air. Its leaves and its branches are really high in the air. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises this date palm tree. So now we have to, it's not hard, but you know, now that you understand, its roots are strong, its shade is vast, it produces fruits all the time. Now we just connect it back to a Muslim. That's what a true Muslim is. Always offering support to people. Always giving benefit to people. And so strong and firm in faith that when something happens and maybe a nation is getting destroyed and they're the Muslim, it's not that your iman is wavering. Actually, it's increasing your iman in Allah. That Allah has a plan. Allah has a plan. We just don't know it. Ala inna nasrallahi qareeb, right? Allah says in Quran, His help is close. So it strengthens your iman. It does not weaken your iman. You have a strong faith. And this is the parable of a date palm tree and that of a Muslim. Main point was how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the question to get the listeners to think. That's the main idea. Because you know what happens oftentimes? You know, when we give Jummah, all I'm doing is spoon feeding you. This is how I say it to the students. Even right now, all I'm doing is spoon feeding you. I'm feeding, you're eating. You don't know how to absorb any information on your own. To the students, I'm not talking to you guys. To you guys, I'm spoon feeding, it's okay. But to the students, they get so accustomed to being spoon fed that when you ask them to start doing things on their own, they don't know how to do it anymore. So you have to change it up, you know? You have to do different ways of teaching them. So the story, the hadith goes on, and we'll end it with this, inshallah. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu didn't want to say anything. So after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the answer and everybody got up, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu went to his father Umar radiallahu anhu and he said, "I swear by Allah, I was going to say the date palm tree." And Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Well, why didn't you say it?" He said, "Because you know, I saw you quiet, I saw Abu Bakr quiet. It wasn't him. I'm just a 10-year-old child. What is in my position to say something?" So Umar didn't say anything. So this is what Umar radiallahu anhu said to Abdullah, to his son. He said, "Had you said the answer, it would have been more beloved to me." And in this narration, it says so and so and such and such. But in another narration, it talks about a red camel. That's a very common word or thing, item used in the Arab in hadith, a red camel. You can understand a red camel. I don't want to cause conflict here, but if you're a Lamborghini guy, you're a Ferrari guy, you're a Mercedes, whatever type of guy you are, but just pick whatever car you like. I'm not picking favorites here. You pick your own. And compare that, and imagine that's what Umar radiallahu anhu is saying. That it would have been more beloved to me to see my son say the answer in front of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than give me anything in this dunya. Shows you something. How much preference they gave to dunya, how much preference they gave to deen over dunya. He literally says, "You give me the best thing in this dunya, I wouldn't have preferred it. I would have preferred you say something in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." On that note, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such for every single person here who has a child that they get pleased by seeing their child worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because from this we can learn what Umar radiallahu anhu is trying to teach us, what a true Muslim is. He feels joy in seeing his son doing something for deen, or his child doing something for deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Jazakallah khairan. Alhamdulillah.